the Football Sack Podcast, brought to you by Summerland Credit Union. Go to summerland.com.au for more info.
Welcome back to the Football Sack Podcast. It is our grand final edition, and it's myself, Jack Quigley, my host, Pat Flaherty, and the prodigal son returns. He was my original co-host. He's back again, but don't worry, it's only for 1 week. It's Christian Leyland. Welcome back, mate.
Thank you, Jack. Hello, everybody.
And welcome back to you, Pat.
Oh, cheers, mate.
No worries, mate. Let's talk about the grand final. Plenty to talk about the grand final. Fruit Salad Sunday. Orange Sunday. Simon Hill wants it changed to Fruit Salad Sunday because the colour on show.
One of his best.
The colours on show, orange and purple. Here's a list of what would take place in a fruit salad sundae. Oranges, mandarins, rock melon, grape.
And only half of the grapes
and
population.
Only half grapes. Like, we're not so much here to talk about the game as the standard of commentary and punditry. We should talk about the game. What about, it's the elephant in the room diving in the A-League. Shane Smeltz.
Oh my god.
That is shameful to see.
He was faking it. Tomato sauce, easy.
Mm, yeah. Blood capsules.
Took a leaf from that rugby union players.
That's right, the Harlequins bloke that did it, yeah. And it's just poor. I don't like seeing players go down easy and, you know, oh, I broke my nose.
Yeah. Did you see the photo that girlfriend posted?
Yes.
On Twitter. Yeah. Clearly she's a makeup artist.
That's right, yeah. That's all just the start. The guy that did The Walking Dead has just been working on Smelty's nose.
Yeah.
Simon Hill, another commentary masterstroke from him, when they were putting all the cream on his top lip to get it, and he said, well, he looks like a cricketer putting on his zinc cream. Who puts zinc under their nose? That's just, anyway.
No, I have to say, I was watching the cricket last night, and Darren Sammy had his whole face covered in zinc.
Yeah, he does like his zinc, yeah.
I'm going, mate, you better listen to the A-League Grand Final.
That's right, yeah. For a guy with extremely dark skin, he uses a lot of zinc, Darren Sammy. Yeah.
See, he could have even said something like he just drunk a milkshake. At least that would have fit.
Yeah, the fruit, yeah, and the milk mustache.
Yeah, that's
that would
right.
have been perfect in that situation, yeah. Or a guy who's just broken his nose and is having some sort of cream there to stop the blood.
Both of those would have fit.
Plausible, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a cricketer. Let's talk about the other major incident that happened during the grand final on Sunday. Fox Sports revolutionary new Third Eye. Possibly the worst piece of technology ever. You were at the game, you probably don't even have a clue what we're talking about.
That's right, man. I had a struggle looking at my own eyes that game, yeah. So I've got no idea what this Third Eye business is.
Third Eye was brought in. Now, they call it revolutionary. I mean, I don't know what's revolutionary. The part where they stole the name from Soccer AM that have been using it for years, or the part where they stole the technology that everyone else has already been using for ages. But it's basically sunglasses with cameras in them.
Right.
And they gave it to a Brisbane Roar fan who sat in the crowd. And they got the idea, of course, from the Big Bash, where the umpires were wearing them, where we saw such highlights as Warnie handing his cap and Brett Lee marking out his run-up. And, I mean, that was thrilling. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why they took it. And some of the highlights to take from Third Eye from the game were man sipping beer, fan clapping. Yeah, we would have been missing out on these things had it not been for Third Eye.
Well, if you're in the crowd, mate, you've been seeing that guy with those glasses on, you would have thought, are they the new fashion?
Yeah.
These big goals.
Yeah.
With an aerial coming out.
It's like the equivalent of those, like, headphones you can listen to the radio or,
yeah. Oh, the sports ears or
yeah,
whatever.
Sports ears, yeah, sports ears, that's it, yeah. Yeah. They've now got these glasses where you pay to go to the game, but just watch the television feed anyway. Revolutionary. Of course, the main shot, or the main bit of footage from the crowd, because the guy wearing the Third Eye goggles stands at the front of the bay and looks backwards. So the main bit of footage was generally people trying to see around that guy to watch the game.
It doesn't actually make sense. I mean, if they want footage of the crowd, you know, facing the crowd, put a bloody camera there.
Yeah, they have cameras there already.
Yeah.
Most of the cameras are facing the game because that's what most people who've tuned in to watch the game want to watch, the game. Mm. But, you know, but it was nice to get some sort of insight to what a crowd is like for anyone who's ever not been out in public ever.
Oh, all those A-League fans who are recluses and live in their mother's basement building model aeroplanes. Oh,
yeah.
Of course, there's obviously a lot of them.
I'm talking about you.
I think the most revolutionary thing about the Third Eye was the picture quality. You could really see everything really clearly. Like, you'd be looking at this guy staring, drinking a beer, and you're like, where's his eye? Oh, over there, third pixel.
Exactly. Yes, that's right. That quarter of the screen.
So it's an old joke. You know, if I had a dollar for every pixel in this picture, I'd have $1.
Yes. $5 is that Hungry Jack's campaign. That marketing campaign costs $5. Definitely. It's like you said at the time, Pat, Fox Sports Revolutionary Third Eye, streaming Facebook videos since 2012.
Yeah, it's just like an iPhone video.
That's right. But it's like, it's worse quality than an iPhone. They should have just given someone an iPhone and say, hey, can you text us a video every 15 minutes? It's HD compared to the Third Eye. You said it was the corniest thing to be on television since that ad for The Block announcing that it starts at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Which quickly shafted Third Eye into the second corniest thing to ever take place. But technology, flying cars must be just around the corner if that's the quality of broadcast we're getting so far. Let's talk a little bit about the match in general. One thing that really annoyed me was people coming onto Twitter. Les Murray was one of them that I had a go at and I caught flat for, saying how, surprise, surprise, 10 minutes to go, they're taking off a striker and bringing on a defender. Surprise, surprise, they're 10 minutes away from winning the title away at the reigning premiers. They're 5 minutes away from winning it, the whole competition. And people are saying, oh, how rudimentary, you know, does he do his team talk on tablets and chisels? It really frustrated me because anyone who follows world football, not just the A-League, that earlier that morning, Real Madrid went to the Nou Camp, did the exact same thing, won the game, and all of a sudden Mourinho's a genius. But when Ferguson does it, it's dragging the whole game down.
Yeah. Honestly, it's what we said at the start of the year. People, for some reason or other, have an idea about what Ferguson's about, and they won't actually look at the facts in front of them and accept it. And so they look and they try to pick any little thing they can, even if it's what everyone else does in the world, and just to shoot him down.
Yeah. The thing, if they went out and tried to out Brisbane, they're 4-0 down. They're not 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go in the grand final. Yeah.
Just look at Arsenal versus Barcelona whenever they play. You can't out Brisbane. You have to come up with something else. And, you know, kudos to Fergie. He almost did.
Yeah, he came within 5 minutes of winning the title, the poor bloke. And he's getting slammed for rudimentary tactics. Well, until Les gets to a grand final managing a team and they're 5 minutes away from winning it, maybe he should just keep to himself or not be so critical. Of course, the major controversy was the penalty at the end. A lot of people saying on first viewing I said penalty, on second viewing no, on third viewing yes. I at the time honestly just went, I think he's just had an air swing at that because there was no one close enough to him for me to go down that easy. Of course, since then we've had everyone on Fox Sports analysing it and saying, you know, this contact. Christian, you're a referee. Contact does not mean automatic foul.
No, not necessarily. What I don't like though is people saying, you know, if it was a foul, it shouldn't have been called a penalty. To me, if it's a foul in open play, it's a foul in the box.
Absolutely,
it's a penalty.
Yeah.
But the question is, that contact there, would he have given that a free kick at the halfway line?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Not. So if that's what the referee's consistently, that's what his opinion of a foul is in that match, then it shouldn't be given in the box.
Yeah, the laws don't change when you cross the line. Mm. The other thing for me was that showed that he wasn't 100% certain was if, under the referee's opinion, he's whipped Berisha's legs out from under him as he's lining up a shot 8 yards from goal. Where's the red card? Because that's pretty much the definition of a goal scoring opportunity right there. So that tells me he wasn't 100% certain. And the other thing that annoys me is we've now had Fox Sports FC and the World Game, and not Fox Sports FC, the A-League Highlight Show and the World Game come out with, you know, if you watch it from this angle here and, you know, we get down and we zoom in 400 times and play it at super slow motion, you can see here, there's the touch and that makes the referee right. Bullshit, because the referee didn't see that. There is no way. If that's how much technology is taken to show that there was contact, the referee's not seen that live. He's guessed.
That's right, yeah. He's seen him fall over. He's had a bit of a panic. He's gone, pointed to the spot, and then he's gone, oh, well, I have to stick by my decision now.
Yeah, and it annoys me that there's been a lot of people coming out trying to validate the penalty award as if it somehow validates what was generally a farcical end to a farcical season. And I think,
but in defense of the referee, if you go down the box from behind, like tackling from behind, it never looks like it's a good thing.
It's so, risky business.
Yeah.
It just annoyed me that people seem to be validating this argument with contact. I, on the A-League Highlight Show last night, was being a bit of a smartass and was using the pause function on my TV. And any time anyone went into the area and touched an opponent, I would freeze it, take a photo, put it on Twitter and say, penalty. and you know, because if that's how you're going to do it, if you want to, all these people saying, letter of the law, that's a foul. Well, you know, let's get Jared Gillett to pass that on to all the other referees.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put money on all the penalty takers from all the teams to be top scorers next season, because we're going to have 75 penalties a game. Every corner, he's going to have to give a penalty. And then after he takes it, give another penalty for the seven other fouls that also happen.
Yeah.
And look, to me, that's the beauty of refereeing in football. You don't always get it in every sport, but in football, there is a bit of a common sense thing with the referees. You know?
That's what annoyed me. If he can't see it and he says no foul, that's fine. You don't expect referees to be everywhere. When they make something up and say, that's definitely happened, I'm 100% certain, and you know they're not, that's what upsets me.
Yeah, and such a big call. You know, it wasn't even a 50-50 decision. 50-50 decision, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, or even a 40-60 or a 70-30.
There should be this much debate.
But that's right. If there's this much debate, you know there's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, if he still feels, and he felt 100% of the time, that it was a foul, then okay, I can accept that. But you look at the decision and you look at his position and you go, how can he be certain enough that it was a foul to give it in the last 30 seconds of a grand final?
Yes. Yeah, very, very interesting. Mm. It was also a little bit ironic that what many people would just say is generally the dirtiest player in the league won the grand final in the last minute with a dive for the fair play champions of the competition, which was nice to see.
I'm going to ruin the joke a little bit and say I don't actually think he did dive, obviously. I think he just fell over and the ref just gave it.
Don't ruin my joke with logic. That's it. Get him out. This will be your last podcast. Yeah. Berisha, of course, had another air swing earlier in the first half and ran over and kicked the turf aggressively, and Matt Coleman tweeted very well and said that I think Berisha's just offered that piece of turf off down the tunnel.
See, I love Matt Coleman because I think he's the most public Berisha hater there is.
Yeah, he's up there. He's definitely up there.
No. I think there's a few million now.
Yeah, that's right. He's got competition now. Wait,
come on, Perth don't have that many supporters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I just genuinely felt for the Perth fans. Brisbane have been the best team all year. It's just unfortunate it ended that way, and it was unfortunate for the Perth fans who travelled so far. Had they been beaten, you know, fair and square, so be it. But I just feel like they've gone home on a long flight after spending a lot of money feeling slightly cheated.
That's right. And look, honestly, if you look at it, you know, Brisbane were a better side in the second half. They were a man up. Liam Miller wasn't doing much. Shane Smolich was on the bench, and Perth were tiring. So you can, like Thomas Roy said, you can say they probably would have won. They were looking the better side, yes, but that doesn't matter at all.
Yes,
you know, yes, they may have won. Yes, they may not have. It shouldn't have come up. It's not for the referee to decide. It's on such a sour note, the ending, that even if they were down, you know, by a lot of goals and that happened, you know, it still wouldn't feel right.
That's right. It still would have been like, and then they got that dodgy penalty at the end.
It's kind of like we're crossing over sports here, but I think it was in 2006 and the Broncos won the NRL Grand Final against Melbourne Storm with about, you know, three or four horrendous decisions, and it was just such a hollow victory for everyone involved because it just shouldn't have been awarded. In the end, obviously, Melbourne were cheating anyway. But it's the same sort of thing here. Brisbane deserved the win, I feel.
Yeah.
And
until they get thrown out for salary cap. That's right. What you're basically saying.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So basically, the summary of the season is Brisbane salary cap warning all year. It's gone. Right. It's over.
The summary of the season is someone get a hold of Brisbane's books.
And Queensland has cheats.
Robbie Slater came out afterwards and said, clear penalty. Clear penalty. Brenton Speed came out and said, penalty, hit, there's contact, fact. How can you say the word clear when there's this much debate? Our own Neil Sherwin tweeted saying that the standard of analysis in this country is right up there with the standard of refereeing.
I'll get a little bit personal here for someone you didn't notice. I've kind of wanted to vent about this. Nick Meredith, commentator.
This podcast is not for you to just come on and vent your own personal vendettas about.
Okay, Nick Meredith, commentator, few weeks ago, he had a rant because someone got subbed off because he was injured and had his injury treated. Did you watch that match?
No, who was that?
Okay, I can't remember who it was, but it was an A-League match, and someone got subbed off because he was injured. He went down the tunnel, got all strapped up, iced up, fixed by the physio.
So he wasn't subbed off, he just went off for treatment?
No. He got subbed off, like the board and everything.
Oh, really?
Went down, got taken down by physio into the change rooms, got bandaged, got iced, got everything fixed up, and then joined joined the bench, and Nick
They do everywhere on the planet.
Yes, everywhere on the planet. And he spent the next 10 minutes complaining how he obviously doesn't care about the team because, you know, he should be sitting on the bench, not getting his injury treated, and waiting until half time because that's what real men do.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
I didn't say that.
Ludicrous. And I tweeted, I said, is this guy the worst commentator in the world? And I got one person saying, well, that's a bit harsh. But everyone else is like, well, no, he just obviously thinks that injuries magically treat themselves.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I'm thinking, like,
the magic bench.
I mean, last season we spent a lot of time talking about some stuff Mark Bosnich and Robbie Slater used to say, but honestly, that takes a cake. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard on live television. And I've watched game shows.
Yeah, and you've watched a lot of Robbie Slater talking.
That's right.
Yeah. So you've done well there. Mm. What about the controversy that came out afterwards that Jared Gillett's partner works in the media department for Brisbane Roar? Mm-hmm. Now, not for one second am I or any of us here suggesting that had anything to do with the decision. In black and white, it did not. However, FFA, why the hell are you letting a bloke whose partner works for one of the teams referee the effing grand final? That is just the stupidest thing. In the UK, you can't officiate in games that involve a team that are from your home region. And yet they let a bloke from Brisbane, whose girlfriend works in the media department, referee the grand final.
Yeah, and like you've said there, we're not saying anything sus happened at all because we generally believe it didn't.
Do it. But why you can't give yourself, why let it blow up if there's an opportunity?
It's like as a coach, you cannot allow yourself to be like driving a child one-on-one to a game or something because you're putting yourself in a position of danger.
That's right.
A position that we could be blamed even if nothing happens. Mm. And this is exactly the same. You've put a possible conflict of interest into the game, into the grand final.
But it's not like he's the only referee out there.
That's right.
It's just, or do they all date people from the club and he was just the one who had the lowest profile? It just smacks of FFA yet again, just not planning ahead at all, just thinking, nah, I should be right. Should we tell Nathan Tinkler that, like, he paid more for his license than the Gold Coast did? Nah, he'll never find out. What about the grand final? Should we let them know that Jared, there could be a conflict? Nah, no one's going to find out about that. Unfortunately, people have telephones and news spreads and FFA.
Can't keep secrets. No. All the secrets seem to come out.
But it's still, it's not even burying your head in the sand. It's just ludicrous. I mean, like, what profile do you think your own game has if you're thinking you're going to get away with things like that? Yeah. Or did they just not think about it? And if that's the case,
I'm going with they just didn't think about it. They just lock in whatever answer that is.
Like, if you just didn't think about it, you have to point fingers and say, whose job was it? Why aren't you doing it? What's actually going on?
It was probably the Raw that nominated him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we love this guy.
Yeah. He probably gave the penalty and they said, who's the penalty for? Us. It's for us.
It's us, guys. Don't worry. It's us.
Yeah, us and the Raw.
Penalty, me, us. Whoops.
He's the first referee I've seen blow the whistle, point to the spot, and punch the air for some reason. A very strange gesture.
I'm pretty sure he grabbed the ball. He wanted to take it himself, didn't he? Right.
He and Berisha were in one of those tug-of-wars to see who was going to take the spot kick.
It was like Balotelli. I said, no, it's mine. It's mine.
That's right.
Yeah, and Matt Smith had to come over and say, look, Jared, look, it was your turn last week.
Yeah, that's right. No, mate, you've been taking, you know, Berisha's been taking a training all week. You know you were there.
Look, mate, we all got a championship ring. It's okay.
Yes, that's right. Brisbane fans have been up under a lot of scrutiny in the past, a lot of it from me, for their unimaginative chants. The swimming carnival chant brigade is basically what they do. A stirring rendition before kickoff the other day of their anthem, Brisbane, clap, 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 Brisbane, clap, clap, clap. And that really gets the hairs on the end of your neck standing up. A lot of people criticise them for that. I have to say well done to them. They proved me wrong on the weekend because at the presentation, they showed a shot of the crowd, the Den, the supporters group there that you've sat in many times, Christian, and one guy was holding up a banner that read, and I quote, yes, 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 end quote. That was his banner. What the hell is that? That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
He holding up a blank canvas you haven't drawn on yet makes more sense than that. That's very ordinary.
What on earth, what use could a banner like that do in your life? I mean, I could think
it's
of
ruined maybe, a perfectly good bed sheet.
It has, that's what it does. I mean, I can see if maybe you're going to Hungry Jack's or McDonald's and the person's like, oh, do you want this meal? Yes. Do you want fries? That, do you want drink? And but you just hold that up and you go yes.
That's through the audio box, so it's not even going to help you there. Yeah.
I think the Raw need to recruit more Indian supporters because they come up with the best banners.
That's right. They come up with, you know,
they come with cardboard.
Best.
They have to go to the ground with cardboard and make them on the way.
Let's do what they do at the cricket. Come with a whiteboard so you can adjust your sign accordingly throughout the game.
It's like
well battered Sachin, and then you rub it out and write Warnie's a cheat or whatever they do. Over in India.
It'd be like World Championship darts, you know, the little
yeah, the 180 cards, where you're from and who you're cheering for. I want to see those handed out A-League grounds.
That would be awesome.
All right, we're starting a new campaign. We want PDC darts handouts with whiteboard. It's not going to end well. There's going to be a shower of whiteboard markers at Brass Apparition when he goes to Perth. Oh, dear. They won't be able to show crowd shots for all the profanity written on the whiteboards.
On just a quick note about the Indian fans. Have you seen that clip of the Indian Arsenal fan where he has like a cardboard scarf and he's chanting all the Arsenal songs?
No. I'm looking for it as soon as we hit stop record on this thing.
Yeah.
Did you see the, I sent you the photo, the Times of India or something this morning had, off on the banner, you know, Ronaldo scores to help Real Madrid defeat Barcelona and had a shot of fat Ronaldo. Not Cristiano. Oh yeah, great fact checkers there.
Nice.
Once the dust had settled on the controversy, almost, it's probably still going, the penalty controversy at full time, we of course were able to at least embrace the fact that, all right, let's celebrate the winners of the grand final and the best player on the field, the Joe Marsden medal recipient, who was, of course, Thomas Broich.
Yeah, deserving winner, sure.
Deserving winner. Surely. Put in a good cross.
We got to watch the cross again. There's two things.
Yeah, that's right, on the highlights. Let's all reminisce about the things that Thomas Broich brought to that game.
Oh, okay, cool.
He got pushed over by Dean Heffernan, I remember that. What's that? Oh, Jacob Burns is one. Jacob Burns.
Burns
is one.
Yeah.
Because I said Thomas Broich, it sounds exactly like Jake. What the hell was going on there?
I don't know.
It was almost like the one final thing that could possibly go wrong for the A-League this season until 2 minutes later and they left Nick Fitzgerald off the list of people to read out to come and get their medals. And that was the last final thing that could go wrong for the FFA this season.
I'm just surprised that like the talks didn't turn up in Wellington or something, you know?
Yeah, that's right. After all the debacle with not having the trophy there for the Mariners when they deservedly won the plate to, you know, them having to parade it after being knocked out of the semi-final. I bet that was a sweet moment for the fans. Oh, FFA have just, it wouldn't surprise me if they held up the trophy and they'd already engraved it with the wrong team on it or something like that.
I just don't understand, you know, someone goes, all right, you know, Simon or whatever, whoever they transferred the message to, all right, James, you know, it's Jacob Burns. All right, Thomas Broich, got it. No, wait, mate. Hey, Simon.
Yeah.
Oi, Thomas Broich. Oh, sweet, I love him. Oi. Yeah. And it's Thomas Broich, in front of 50,000 fans.
You know what really stirred the pot for me was, do you know who passed the message on? Jared Gillette.
Chinese whispers.
It was Chinese whispers, and it got to him. And he, when you retrace the Chinese whispers to see where it went wrong, it was when it got to the referee's table. And it was Jacob Burns. Oh, Thomas Broich all of a sudden.
and he was thinking about giving it to Berisha, but he was still bitter about not getting to take the penalty.
That's right, yeah. Although they did have to change the name because Jared Gillette wanted it read it out as Tommy my boy. So, yeah. Definitely,
and all the time the guys in the crowd with his banner saying yes.
Yes, that's right. You know, but again, it works.
Yeah, it works. So many levels.
Four levels, in fact. Yes. The first one, the second one, the third one, and the fourth one. In any case that you need to reply yes. Paul Williams, who writes for 442 and various other blogs, made a good point saying that we now have growing history and genuine rivalries forming in the A-League, which is good. It's not something we're not being told to hate other teams to build a rivalry to fill a stadium, you know.
Yeah, we just hate them until they get dropped out of the league.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You just have to hate them until they go away. Just hate them quietly. If you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. That's the motto. You know, when Brisbane go to Perth next year, there's a genuine rivalry that's going to be played out there.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
Yeah. I mean, the Mariners rivalry is there with Brisbane because of last year's events and they've been the closest two sides. Mm. Now, this whole Berisha thing is going to ignite Brisbane-Perth, just like the whole Berisha ignited Brisbane-Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. So I think it's great, and I think it's a very valid point that we're getting these rivalries. Let's just hope that we have a few teams left around to see them, like you say. Another Matt Coleman quote a while ago when the Jets became the latest team to go was that the tagline for next season's A-League will be the Hyundai A-League. Come see it while you still can.
It's like a closing down sale at the Rug
yes,
Mansion.
Everything must go. Oh dear, that's terrible. But having said that, the basket case that FFA's been all year, we all have total faith that they've got their house in order for Western Sydney next season, don't we? Yeah? Yeah.
Oh, do we have any reason to doubt they will?
Exactly. Yes. No, we don't. No. FFA. Flawless football administration. That's what FFA should stand for.
What you're saying about these rivalries is true, though. It's brilliant. Like, I mean, the NRL has been around for so many years that, you know, when you're a supporter of, say, like the Dragons, you have a reason and a memory to hate every single other team. That's so right. You just automatically have a rivalry every game, and they get the crowds in their stadiums.
It's a meaningful game, yeah.
Yeah, with the A-League, so far, well, probably from last year, it was just kind of, you had your close rivalries or maybe a team you played a grand final against.
Well, they have the rivalry round, and it felt like sort of four of the games were really kind of scratching.
Yeah.
Of course, we had the one true derby now in Melbourne, which will develop a bit just because of their proximity.
Yes.
You know, but then we had a lot of scratching. We had the F3 derby, but two cities near each other doesn't really make for that good a derby. It was kind of the best we've got at the moment, derby.
Yeah. Now we had your default derby.
Yes, Perth and Wellington.
The only two teams left.
That's right, when everyone had been geographically divided up. Who did Adelaide have in the rivalry round?
Who did Adelaide have? That's a really good question.
Because I assume, because the two Melbourne teams played each other.
Oh, it would have been Sydney, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been Sydney just by process of elimination. They hate each other, those process of elimination guys. They hate each other.
But you know, now it's good because we're getting to the stage where if you're a supporter of a team, say, you know, say the Jets, you'll have a reason, an event over a history to hate every other side.
That's right. It's a building up. Yeah. If the Jets get it back up and running, the Mariners will go going, we have the Jets this week. Ooh, big game. Cause, you know, we've hated them because we're kind of told
Papa Stanley's a dickhead. Sort of something.
Yeah, that's right. Something stupid. Yeah. Ruben Zadkovich plays for them. Yeah. Moby plays for them.
Mate. He's on tour.
Plays for them when he's not on tour.
Oh, I might go see his show. Great actor.
You know what was really nice to see? He just gets on stage and does performance pieces now.
And I'm going to explain my song through interpretive dance.
That's right. He comes out on stage to a beat and then the music stops and he reads from poetry. One thing that was nice to see was when Travis Dodd was subbed off on the weekend, a lot of people on Twitter who were reporting the substitution said Travis, yeah.
We're claiming that.
That's right.
We are claiming that.
Yeah. Mm. And until the A-League changes their font, it will remain Travis, ooh.
Travis, ooh. Yeah. We did have we ended up building up a batch of nicknames for all these players, and I think Travis, ooh, was the first and the best of them all.
Of the best, yeah. And with it being the best, you could see how poor a quality list that was.
The Football Sack Podcast is supported by the Asia Pacific Football Institute. To find out more, head to apfi.net.au.
Football Fans Down Under Awards coming up next month. We have been lucky enough to be nominated for 6 awards. We have 6 nominees going for awards, which is outstanding, and almost 36,000 votes went into the hat. This podcast is nominated once again to defend our crowd as podcast of the year, and you know, on behalf of obviously myself. I don't have to say on behalf, you can say thanks too, Pat.
Oh, thank you. And to all the voters.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who voted. We really do appreciate it. But we've at the Football Sack had a really good run. We've got Blogger of the Year nominees, Website of the Year nominees. I can't even remember what
social media.
Social media
of the year.
Best use of social media for the year, yeah.
And so there's podcast as well. And
Australian based Supporters Club of the Year. No, we're not nominated.
No, we're not. No. Jeez, what are they now? Okay, so we've got Podcast of the Year, Website of the Year, Social Media of the Year.
Yeah.
Then we have Melanie Jaski.
Yeah.
She is nominated for Football Writer of the Year.
Yes.
Scott and Melanie are both nominated for Blogger of the Year.
Yeah.
And Pete Novikoskoy,
who is for Twitter Character of the Year.
Of the Year.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So it should be a really good night. We're really looking forward to it. And once again, thanks to everyone who voted. It was outstanding. We got one from... How many nominations did we have last year?
Okay, so we had... Because these are finalists. We had nominations.
Yeah.
Last year, we had 4 nominations.
Okay.
We now have 6. And we were
we were 1 from 4 last year.
Yeah, so 1 from 4 award last year. Yeah. So hopefully we can go one better. And I mean, it was great because all up this year we were nominated in 8 categories and we're finalists in 6 of them. So it's not a bad success rate.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. Oh, we'll take that.
Have they got hosts for the thing? I think the Football Sack podcast can put their name in the ring.
No, because I'll be enjoying a few beverages on the night and won't be coherent.
After last week's, I think we're pretty good at it.
The crowd did enjoy us last week. Yeah. That has to be said during our awards night.
Yeah,
that good point. And, you know, and mentions to Liam Reddy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do with himself?
Jeez, I don't want to know, mate.
Yeah. Probably have a cold beverage on him.
probably.
It's been a stressful week for him.
Yeah, it is.
Crack one open and relax.
The thing is, you can actually claim another bit of half a personal nomination because, of course, Glory Days Match Day Program has also been a finalist in Match Day Program of the year. And obviously, myself, yourself, and a few other Football Sack writers have written in that publication.
That's really stretching it to say that we can claim it. No, those guys do 99.9% of the work.
No.
I'm not going to walk up on stage and claim the trophy should they win.
I'm not saying as an organisation. I'm saying as a bit of a personal thing and a publication you wrote in. Of course, been nominated.
Of course, I've also been on the internet. So whoever wins Website of the Year, regardless if it's us or not, I will also be trying to claim that trophy. And I have a personality, so I'm not nominated for Twitter Personality of the Year, but I have Twitter, so I feel that I'm eligible, and whoever wins, I will accept.
And I can now remember why I stopped being on this show.
Yes. We've not spoken since you left.
I wonder why.
I can see why. Yes. All right, that will do us for today's show. Thank you very much for stopping by again, mate. It was good to see you, Christian.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And Pat, thank you very much for coming by, as you always do, because you've got nothing better to do.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much a bum.
That's right.
I get my seat back next podcast.
Yeah, Christian claimed his seat.
He took my seat.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Does he know I was naked on that seat last week.
Exactly, yeah. It was no pants podcast last week, and Christian, you are feeling it. I want to wash those pants.
Mate, it's one of those things, a girl you like touches you on your hand, you're like, okay, never washing my hand again.
You were extremely proud of that seat. You walked in straight away, urinated on it, and then sat on it. Yeah, so you know we're more than happy. You can take it with you if you want, mate. It's going to stink up the studio pretty much.
I tried last; they wouldn't let me on the plane with it. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, with a urine-soaked seat. Yeah. That's check baggage. All right. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you next week, mate. Cheers.
See ya.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.